happened.
That's right.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
Oh, can you hear Ryan right here?
This project is extremely dangerous.
I am special.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
I'm special,
the Giddy Geeker,
yes, and Tiffany
the Technician.
People assume that time is a stream.
Oh. Probably Tiffany. Us.
Yeah. Episode, 75. Mm-hmm. If this was like a real anniversary, what do you get that person platinum or something? What is 75, you know?
I don't know.
A tombstone?
Pizza or the actual?
Burial plot.
Oh, man, that hurt.
Well, 50 is platinum. It's gold.
Oh, I think 75 might be kryptonite.
25 is silver. 75 has to be like adamantium or something. You just get a Wolverine. Call it a day.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman shows up at your doorstep.
Somebody drew something. You know, I don't know if you saw Darrow. It was the Wolverine with lightsaber claws.
Ooh.
And I was like, there's no way that could happen, but it's so cool. Just like, doesn't matter. Just cool.
Don't think about that's science. Right. Disney doesn't own the X-Men, so.
Not yet.
Not yet. They will.
Is that the next movie to come? The next big movie to come out? X-Men?
No.
Oh.
Man, 3 is in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Okay.
Civil War.
Civil War.
It's the day before. It's the weekend of our wedding.
That's right. A civil union and a civil war.
That's right. So I don't know if this is true, Darryl. You might know. I saw just before we got on the podcast, but after the Defenders on Netflix, they're talking about She-Hulk, Cloak and Dagger, yep, Bullseye, and Elektra. Have you guys heard?
Why Elektra?
I don't like that lineup at all.
I like
a lot of people seemed excited about She-Hulk.
I really like Cloak and Dagger, but I just don't.
But I heard Gambit got dropped for Deadpool too.
Yeah, Gambit got pushed back.
So yeah. Channing Tatum is taking a backseat to Ryan Reynolds.
They actually cast Channing Tatum.
That's Gambit. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He grew his hair out for that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, remember we talked about that. It's
like, I think I blocked it from my mind. The idea of Channing Tatum trying to do a Cajun accent. I think...
Isn't that where he's from? New Orleans?
Is he?
I have no idea. He's from Florida.
I thought he was from the Cabbage Patch Kid Isle. As far as our
the Isle of Misfit Toys?
Oh,
no, I'm not a big fan of that lineup, though, honestly. She-Hulk, yeah, I'm down with. Because
you could do the whole lawyer thing if they wanted to do that route.
Yeah, get your procedural on, sure.
Bullseye, that's going to be a tough one, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's basically an assassin story, then.
Nah, give villains their own?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they just have that in Daredevil?
Why
would
you choose Bullseye? I mean, why wouldn't you give Kingpin his own show? Because Vincent D'Onofrio is awesome.
They kind of co-own Daredevil, don't they? I mean, you get his whole origin and all that kind of good stuff. He gets his own episodes.
Yeah, I think Elektra is probably the silliest choice, but I don't know.
I want a Moon Knight.
Jennifer Garner needs work.
Moon Knight, yeah. What'd you say?
Moon Knight would be awesome.
So Jennifer Garner needs work.
Oh.
That miracle from heaven.
She's so far away. Speaking of Last Day on Earth, The Walking Dead season finale. Holy shitballs.
Fuck you with a...
Yeah.
Baseball bat wrapped with barbed wire.
There you go.
We'll
see
you.
Fuck who, Megan?
No, AMC.
Oh.
What's your beef with this joint?
Because you
Spoiler alert.
Okay. Not that there's any spoiler, because you don't know who he kills, because they don't show it.
He killed the cameraman.
Apparently he killed the B cameraman, poor guy.
So
you're never going to get that angle anymore.
So it's a cliffhanger for 7 fucking months.
They did the same thing to Stannis in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
7 months you gotta wait to find out who got hit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And the thing is, everyone's like, well, they always do cliffhangers with TV shows. And Scott Gimple was on Talking Dead talking about Lost. Like, you really want to compare your freaking
Walking
Dead to Lost, which sucked.
I know, I know.
I
the
liked
first
Lost.
Three seasons
I
were liked. Okay, but then it just went all downhill.
Went the right direction. So someone got killed, and we don't know
who. We don't know who. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if they killed, if we had known who they killed, it still would have been like, how's everybody going to react? How are they going to get out of the situation?
Exactly.
What's going to change? There's doesn't take anything away from the suspense of the situation, because these motherfuckers are still caught.
Yeah.
You know, and...
You know
who's in contract negotiations?
And that's the thing. At this point, I don't even think they've written who they're going to kill.
Because
it could be... It's not going to be any of the women. Because, I mean, I know they said they're going to take a hard left from Negan of the comic books, but Negan always had this thing where he didn't kill women and children. In the comic books now.
Yeah.
Kirkman's in the writer's room, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't think that's going to change. So all the women are safe. And they weren't going to ever kill Maggie anyway. Yeah, they're going to beat a pregnant woman to death with a baseball bat. I'm not even Walking Dead's going to go there.
Game of Thrones would.
Oh, yeah. They just stabbed that bitch in the stomach with a knife several times.
I do like seeing Rick, like, he was so sure. And
then he wasn't so sure.
Yeah, and then
progressively get unsure about the situation.
Yeah, and like, the first, like, he comes to this roadblock. And there's like, what, six of them in the Winnebago of death?
Yeah.
And there's probably, in front of them, there are probably six to eight guys that you can see.
Yeah.
No, obviously, they're all over the woods.
Yeah.
Is what was really fucking happening. They're vastly outnumbered. But right then, he decides, no, I'm not going to do like one-on-one. I'll see what the next thing is. I want it to be our play. So they back up the fucking thing. They back up.
Yeah, they back up, and it's like, you're going to make a threat, then you're going to 6-point turn that fucking around. We're going.
They go to the next place, and it's fucking 16 guys. And he's like, oh, it's like 16, 6 on 16.
We're going different ways.
And then they do like another weird-ass turn. And then finally the last one's just like, forget it. It's like an army.
Yeah.
And they got to back up, and there's no place to turn around. They're just backing up a fucking Winnebago, and I'm like, what in the hell? I mean, I think at that point you just know you're fucked, so just give up. I don't know.
But. And then they, load Maggie out of the RV and cart her through the woods, and I'm like, what the
hell? Yeah, I was like, is this the Revenant?
That's a good one.
Who the fuck is Tom Hardy? Yeah. Pop out. Bitch needs to die. She's dead weight.
So... It's 90 minutes, you finally get Negan, he comes in the last, 15 minutes of the show, does a great speech, and
I think he was good, yeah.
He comes out monologuing?
No, he comes out monologuing.
That's the best way to see a villain, coming out monologuing.
And I thought we were just going to get a glimpse, and that was it. And I was so I was glad we got what we got.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is very well cast,
yeah.
And then he beats somebody to death with a baseball bat, and you don't know who.
But the thing is, that's really cool about it, is, you can see Rick just, breaking the fuck down. Like, he looks, completely...
He knows
he's
is messed up.
Fuck. You know? And it just really brings, such a levity to the situation.
Yeah. And Rick and Carl are perfectly fine, because right before he starts beating this person up, he goes, if anyone says anything, you take that kid's other eye out and feed it to his dad.
Yeah.
So they're fine. But
I would rather. Honestly, I know that nobody's ever safe, but I feel like without Rick,
there's
the lack of direction to the show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably my gut instinct is they're gonna kill Aaron, because there was no freaking reason for Aaron to get on the RV.
To the gay guy.
Yeah.
Mm. He's cute.
I know. And it also means that you killed your two of your gay characters in the same season, because they just killed.
Well, better not be fucking Glenn. That's all I gotta say.
He's doing something over in Korea with Kirkman, so I don't know.
Then again, there's Daryl, who has a motorcycle show.
But that motorcycle show is six episodes, and he's filming it in tandem. So it's I don't think they're gonna kill Daryl. He hasn't done enough this season to actually warrant a big death scene.
Yeah.
It's not Carol or Morgan. Well,
do we think it's maybe...
I hope it's not Michonne, though, because she's one of my favorite characters.
I
think it's going to be
Jethro Tull.
Abraham?
No! The guy with the mullet.
Yeah. Oh, Eugene.
By the way, I watched that guy, 2 weeks ago when he was on Talking Dead.
Oh.
I thought he was so charming and lovely and funny. Like, I have, like, a crush on him now.
Yeah. Watch him on...
No, he's not, but he was... Okay. No, he was really fun.
Yeah. It just freaked me out. Like, you play too good of a hick. Yeah.
He didn't have that accent normally. He was on At Midnight, and he's actually very funny.
Yeah, he was really cool.
I don't think they're going to kill Eugene because he's the comic relief.
Yeah.
I cannot understand half of what he says.
But I think... Yeah, I think it's either Abraham or Aaron, and I have a feeling they're just going to kill that C-list character and kill Aaron and then piss me off.
Yeah, because Abraham wanted it. He was, like, begging them to...
Yeah, I just... To me, it was, like, it was a letdown. To me, it was a cop-out. It's, like... Yeah. And everyone's, like, well, you have great big cliffhangers in the past, like, who shot JR? And I'm, like, you didn't have... I know!
That's reaching!
Yes, ridiculous! Like, who shot Mr. Burns?
I'm, like, but back then, you didn't have the internet. Nah. And you didn't have, like, scouts checking out who's filming.
Yes.
And I'm like, there's no possible way this is going to remain a mystery until the season
October.
I know, there's just no way.
Well, at least it's October.
Like a mid-season finale, but not.
That's the thing. I mean, at least I was like thinking about this because like Chris was like right after immediately he goes, it's not coming back to October, and I was like, what the fuck kind of a thing? And then I was like, well, if this shit was Game of Thrones, it'd be a fucking year. So at least there's like half seasons to kind of keep you going.
But if that were Game of Thrones, they would have shown who he killed. Because Game of Thrones, I mean, their big reveal is usually the episode before.
For the watch.
The finale.
For the watch.
For the watch. Yeah.
For the watch.
But did anyone...
That lady's got the most amazing voice that does the shame.
Alright, so another finale. This was only an 8-part thing. 11/22/63 based off the Stephen King book. You got James Franco.
It was actually quite good. I mean, I got really enjoyed it.
Don't sleep on Franco. He's a very good actor.
Yeah.
He really...
He directed some of the episodes. And J.J. So the deal was Franco wanted to produce this thing. He went to get the rights and they said, sorry, J.J. Abrams had it.
Fucking Abrams.
So he went to Abrams and Abrams said, oh, do you want to be in it? Star in it? And he's like, oh. And he's like, okay, if I can direct at least two of these. And he's like, okay. So I was like, that's a pretty good trade, I think.
Yeah. I watched the first two episodes and I am quite impressed. Mm-hmm. With that show.
Yeah. So it's over.
I had read a bunch of things before the season started. I think I'd said this, that people were like, oh, James Franco is phoning it in, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think so at all. I thought he was really effective in this show, and I was compelled the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, especially like when he made that commitment, I'm going to live in 1960 and play the long game, you know, to 63. It's like, holy shit, dude. Yeah. That's a commitment.
That's a commitment.
That's not just like you can time travel and punch Hitler out and you're done and go back. Go back. No. It's like you gotta wait. Yeah. And you got the time field that doesn't want you there kicking weird shit at you and trying to run you over.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nuts.
And I mean, he really had to do some crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Like to try to sort of affect the change he wanted, like with the guy that was in his class when he was in 2016, trying to save him. You know, and having to like strangle that man, the hot ass Josh Duhamel. And
I think that's always billed.
How dare you subject these men?
I know. I feel so cheap.
James Franco.
I feel so objectifying.
Objectifying men, though, Daryl and I are offended.
That I do.
Proudly, apparently.
But no, the crazy thing about Franco is he's from 2016, so they changed that from the book. I think it was 2011, right?
Yeah, it was 2011 or 2012.
So it's not that big of a thing. So he's from there, and he's in the 60s playing a teacher there, and then when he sets up this second house with his fake brother to monitor Oswald, he's playing a totally different type of guy.
Yeah.
So it's like an actor playing two different parts in a movie. I mean, in a series. It was just like, it's just different layers. And like, you don't really notice it. And I think that's why he's so good. Because it's like, you believe he's the teacher when he's teaching. You know, in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And he dresses just like he's in the 60s. Like, he fits in. And it's like, you just believe it. And it's like, I think that's his, like,
I will say, I kind of, like, wish, I mean, I know that they have to kind of move it along. And I thought it moved at a pretty good pace, actually, but I would have liked to see a little bit more of that, like, I'm from 2016, this is 1960, and him being like, fuck, I'm bored, there's nothing on TV, I don't have my phone.
I have three channels. How do I only have three channels? Oh,
yeah, you think of that, I think about it, that sounds terrible. No, thank you.
Right.
I don't want to go back past, like, 2008.
Right. There's no microwave? Whoa, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's a huge adjustment. I mean, you're thinking, like, he's born in 1978, you know, like, it's crazy, but, but I thought the girl, his like love interest, was really great.
I was actually rather impressed with the guy that plays his brother, air quotes, Bill, who I was referring to as Ron Weasley through the entire series.
Now that you say that, I kind of get what you're saying.
A little bit.
And I was surprised to learn he's actually English.
So maybe he does not surprise me.
I was like, he actually is Ron Weasley.
Man, those guys are getting a lot of visas over here, man.
I tell you, I don't like this. I don't like this. They got a toehold over here in American Hollywood.
The English gingers are coming.
It's an oddly specific warning.
I guess my only problem with the whole thing was the choice they made for the president in 2016 after they changed the timeline. I didn't think, you know, Patrick Harris was the right choice. I mean, yeah, he was an actor, but
whatever. Without giving too much away, I was disappointed with the way the world, what the result was after he came back to 2016.
I was disappointed with the book with that too.
And then I was generally like upset about the way it ended in general, kind of a thing. I wanted more satisfaction, I guess.
Yeah, this was never going to have a really happy ending, so.
Yeah, I guess so.
And the real thing is you can't really time travel because you'll fuck it all up, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
Yeah. Go forward. Except you gotta go anywhere, TARDIS. Go forward.
True, but that's,
okay,
you know...
Except for the TARDIS.
Relative dimensions in space and time. So anyway, all right. You're doing a whole lot of things there.
Yeah.
Now, get a geeker. Dancing with the Stars.
You're Dancing with the Stars.
Come on, let's sock it to us, because you're...
Oh, so we're on week three. I have not finished watching week three yet because you came early, Tiffany.
That's never a good thing.
Actually, true. So, with women, I mean, oh, good, you're done. Yay.
Pressure off me.
Okay, stop moaning now.
Spoiler up to week two. So we have some very interesting people on. It seems to me like with this show, they tend to have like a bunch of interesting people in one season, and then the next season, not so much.
Alternate Star Trek movies.
Yeah, it seems like Nimoy versus Shatner. This season has definitely got several people in that I'm interested in. Jodie Sweetin, who was in Full House and is now in Fuller House, is on there. We also have Kim Fields, who was Tootie on Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah.
We had Geraldo Rivera was on there, Doug Flutie from Football Fame. We have two of the guys from the Super Bowl this year are on there, Vaughn and another gentleman, and I don't watch enough football to remember their names. But
Vaughn Miller.
Now we have Marla Maples, who was once married to Donald Trump. We have, I know.
That's how you get on during election season.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she was of his wives. She was a notable person. Mm-hmm. And then, who was the other person that I thought was really interesting?
So interesting.
Boys to Men, Wanya Morris is on there. And
he was good.
Is a really good dancer. That boy has the moves. So I was very impressed with him. Jodie Sweetin is also a very good dancer. And then they have Ginger Z, who's the meteorologist for Good Morning America. So there are some good dancers on there. There's some not so good dancers. One of them is Misha Barton from the OC. And she just kind of walks through. She doesn't... And she's very whiny, so I don't think she will last long.
She has a weird attitude.
She's not representing the OC, right?
She's not. She's like, well, it's so much to learn and so hard. And, like, I went and watched other people, and I was like, who's the professional and who's the regular celebrity? Because I didn't know them, but they were good dancers, you know? And it was just like, no, they're, like, putting effort in, you know, just like you should be.
Is she dancing, like, in her head? She's thinking, and one, and two, and three, and step.
I don't know. She's just not, and she's just has a bad attitude, and I don't think she's going to last long.
You hear that, Misha?
So
bad attitude.
Geraldo Rivera was the first one to be booted off. Good. His two dances in week one and week two. The first week, he was like, he's like, I need to show that I can, I'm a Latin guy and I can't dance. And this is true. He can't dance.
He showed it right away.
And then season, episode two, he dressed up as Donald Trump.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Okay. No, oh, so his first dance was actually about opening Al Capone's safe, which I was like, how stupid is that? Because when you opened Al Capone's safe, there was nothing there. And when you're dancing, there's nothing there. You weren't dancing. And so Len Goodman was back and he was definitely talking about the fact that it would be really great if he actually danced in episode two, which he didn't really do, but he did move more, so it was better. But yeah, he got kicked off the show. So definitely more enjoyable this time around. Season three, week three is this week, and it's the most memorable year of your life, so I'm sure there'll be some tissues involved. Oh. But I haven't watched it yet, so.
Sorry, Joey.
No. It was really okay. Plus, I made lasagna, so you know.
Yes. Shout out to Joey's lasagna.
Yes. Yeah. Cheesy.
It's very cheesy. Like me.
Very cheesy.
All right. So, but I also watched some other things on Hulu and Amazon and Netflix.
This is not sponsored by Hulu, but go ahead.
No. Well, you know.
Pay all bills.
I wish we had somebody speaking Hulu money.
I knew that there was a lot of geeky stuff that I could be catching up on, but, you know, I do have to have some Unicorn Chasers in there, just some difference. And so I did watch Grace and Frankie, which is with Jane Fonda.
Yep,
Jane Fonda.
Joan's cousin, yeah.
Jane Fonda, yep. And then Lily Tomlin is in it. And basically, it was season one, and it was about two women who are much later in life. And they find out that their husbands are in love with each other. Mm-hmm. And so now they're kind of figuring out their next moves. And it was very interesting, and I really enjoyed that. I do feel like it got better towards the end. There are some plot lines that I just don't understand, and I think you can tell the writers weren't sure what to do with them either.
Are you talking about, like, the son and the daughter?
Yeah, so one of the sons and one of the daughters had some kind of he had a crush on her or something like that previously, but they just don't focus on that. It ends up being more on the two wives and then one of their daughters. So, but I thought towards the end it is still kind of hard. Martin Sheen as a gay guy is not as believable as Sam Waterston.
I agree.
I still see Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben.
Uncle.
From the Tobey Maguire.
And I have to say that Lily Tomlin's
hair
is
Cliff Robertson.
Beautiful.
He was Uncle Ben in the new one. Andrew Garfield.
Garfield, you're right.
I was trying to figure out.
She got a lot of makeup or something happening on that show, but she's really funny.
Yeah, I think Lily Tomlin is really steals the show. She's great. But Jane Fonda.
She's good too.
So
I
want to
be Jane Fonda when I get old. I'm just putting that on record because she's like so put together. And
well, she knows.
Do some aerobics, man. Yeah. Get those leg warmers.
Yeah, start reading her books, I guess. So, go over to Hanoi.
I wasn't going to say it. I was like, can I work in a Hanoi?
Yeah. So it's a series on Netflix. I would recommend it. They are saying that there's a season two coming out, but they haven't confirmed that the two guys that are playing the husbands are back yet. So, also watched Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor because it had been nominated and won some awards, and I really wanted to see that.
Okay.
Transparent, I guess I'm a little stupid. It took me a minute to realize that he's trans and he's a parent, and that's where the Transparent comes from.
I've actually talked about the show.
I know, but I was thinking Transparent is more, you know, I mean, it is. It's a double meaning.
You were thinking Transparent Aluminum and Scotty was going to show up and stuff.
Hello, computer.
Hello.
But I will say, I watched both seasons. They're only 10 episodes each. This is free on Amazon Prime if you're an Amazon Prime member.
Word.
I will say that I felt like the first season was more intriguing to me, and by the second season, I was kind of ready to slap some of these people. it did bring up some interesting stuff. Definitely uncomfortable. Definitely pushes the boundaries.
Yeah.
On a bunch of stuff. But
do you hate the daughter, the one daughter too, Gabby Hoffman?
Yeah.
I fucking hate her.
Is that the long hair?
I just hate you, man.
No, she's the younger one. I don't remember what her name is on the show. But
Allie.
She's the one that like was straight and then now is gay and is like with this old woman and I don't know.
Yeah, like her best friend admitted she had a crush on her and then she slept with her for a while and then she kind of moved on.
It just seemed like they had a different set of writers for the second season.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't even seem like that character.
I think they got a lot
of lost
in like drama.
Yeah, but Jeffrey Tambor is just a fucking
I thought he was very interesting. The parts where you focused on him was good. I think there were other parts that just didn't do well. But, you know, it was interesting. We had Angelica Houston on at the end of season two, and I liked scenes with her.
Yeah.
I thought she was an interesting character. And that whole, towards the end of season two, no spoilers, but they end up going to kind of a Lilith Fair type of event that's out in the woods, and it's women only. and it comes up that it's a women only, women born women event. And he's there as a trans person, not realizing that he wasn't welcome.
That's going to be my excuse. I had no idea.
And of course, you know, without getting political, but obviously we've got some stuff happening here in North Carolina. So I think I viewed it with a different opinion because it's very fresh. And, you know, one of the things was he was trying to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there you go.
So his solution was to pull over at a construction site and use a porta potty.
Really?
Where there was no sign on it. Yeah. So he was like, I got this covered. All right. I'm going to do this.
He left and he went and used a porta potty. So.
And this is in relation to my first comic, black and white comic book, back in the day called Transparent. Even though I'll probably be suing their pants off. So don't expect any more seasons of Transparent. No, they would bury me in legal. I would never.
But I do kind of feel like, you know, there is some stuff that goes on that's a little too soon. I will tell you who is an absolute hoot in it, and that is Judith Light as wife. You don't like her?
Who's the boss?
She reminds me of someone that I know. So
Angela from Who's the Boss?
Yes. She's just.
I got some news for you.
Yeah, there's something about her that reminds me of this person that I know, and it's like it just rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I mean, she's interesting,
but I think she's meant to rub you the wrong way. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is she doesn't really hear what people are trying to tell her. She just lives in that bubble of this is what I'm dealing with.
It just the show sometimes I think it's really interesting and it's like gives you this sort of view into this world. I mean, as far as I'm aware, none of us are trans at this table, but
don't look at Daryl. What the fuck?
Just kidding. Only one I don't know that way. So.
But you know, so it's definitely like a slice of life that you don't get, but it's like it gets a little too serious sometimes. With it. But then again, I guess that's sort of what people can deal with. Yeah.
No, just for the record, I've shared a hotel room with almost all of us, except for Daryl. So, I've seen bathrooms.
Kind of Carolinas, don't
I've
worry.
Seen okay. Seen all right. So, Daredevil season two, we still haven't started it yet.
I finished it.
It's great. Mm.
We'll start it.
You can spoil it, though.
No, you can't. There's not really any spoiling. I do think the Punisher was actually very well handled.
The Punisher's in this?
Yeah.
Fuck. Just kidding.
He's kind of sort of on the poster and shit.
Next thing you tell me, Elektra makes an appearance.
She does.
What?
I liked their handling of the Punisher. Punisher's kind of a tough character to handle, and I think they handled him well.
They nailed it, man.
They did.
They nailed it.
They nailed him good.
That's good. He wasn't even close to my list of people who I would think. And they're like, John Bernthal. And I was like, perfect. Yep. They nailed it. And he nailed it.
I did not like Elektra.
Nobody did. Everybody I talked to did not like Elektra.
After
grated. Jennifer Garner's, tour de force, you really can't.
This woman at least kind of sort of sounded Greek, but God, she was just so fucking annoying. And every time I saw her, I was like, oh God, Matt's going to do something stupid now. Mm-hmm. Which is inevitably what he did. Yeah. And Matt's a crappy lawyer, and he's a crappy boyfriend. So there, Matt Murdock, you suck as a lawyer, you suck as a boyfriend, and I bet you can't cook. So
well, he's blind! Of course he can't cook!
I thought it was a tablespoon!
Like, oregano in this.
He couldn't cook because his senses are so heightened. To be like garlic clove would just be like, I'd be like crying and be like, oh my god!
Your food is so bland. Why is that? Yeah.
Season 2 should be titled Matt Fucks Up a Lot.
Yes, yes. And Foggy is awesome.
Yeah,
so, his partner.
He's good.
His partner, yes.
I will say the infamous hallway sequence in the first season is topped. In this season.
Mm-hmm. It topped. Oh. Yes.
The infamous hallway season. The hallway scene. I loved that scene.
There is a scene. Are you talking about the one with the chains?
Yeah.
Yes.
Episode 3.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh,
okay. It is awesome.
They take that to multiple floors.
Yeah. It is awesome.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Although I will say too,
the one scene
that was kind of impressive to me in season 1 was towards the end when he comes up against the Japanese
Ninja.
Master. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He gets
that scene was pretty brutal.
He gets some ass kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he keeps getting up, and that's the thing about
He's
there.
A chumbawamba there. He gets knocked down.
Oh! I do not approve that joke.
Yeah. At least you didn't Rick Willis.
I enjoyed the season. I cringed whenever Elektra was on the screen just because she annoyed the hell out of me. But the jail sequences with, I'm not going to spoil it, were awesome.
With the incarcerated?
Yes, with the incarcerated. Gotcha. Were awesome.
Very awesome.
I already know what's
Are there any hot
right
pieces in this show for me to appreciate?
Do you think John Bernthal is cute?
No.
Okay, then no. Well, Matt Murdock. Charlie Holland is that
I like him John better Cox. As himself, yeah. Not as Daredevil, though.
Okay. Well, he's seen a lot as himself.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's cute. All
right.
No real cute guys now, so.
Not really, no.
They fix the horns.
I didn't want to disappoint you with not objectifying any men.
They're going down to the wire on that one.
I like introducing, they do crossovers here with Jessica Jones quite a bit.
Mm.
So.
Good.
Is she in it?
Is that guy from Jessica
She's
Jones
not in it?
She's
no.
Not,
okay. She's not in it. Luke Cage is mentioned.
Hogarth.
In there. Yeah, Hogarth shows up. And then, because I won't say how she shows up because that's the end of the season. All
right.
But it's referenced quite a bit, and you do get to see the Night Nurse again. So, I do like her character a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And character. Yeah.
And there's a couple of really creepy scenes in this season. Now I was just like, okay, that's just creepy.
Yeah.
Did Stiltman make it in season 2?
No.
No.
keep wishing.
That'd be when they jump the shark. Season 9. Yeah,
I will say there are a couple of scenes.
Season 9 is the official shark.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a couple of scenes with Punisher that almost top the car door scene.
I believe that. Yeah.
And Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's coming out, man. I need my little unicorn chaser here.
Yeah, we saw that one. And it was like, let's watch some Disney shit or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
so there's a couple of instances where the Punisher is going at it where I was just like, holy cow, wow.
What? There is a scene where he gives surprisingly poignant relationship advice.
Yes.
Oh. Out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Wow.
I was like, this dude who's killed about 4 billion people in the first 2 episodes alone gives very good relationship advice.
And he actually, I never really liked John Bernthal as Shane on The Walking Dead, mostly because I think the character did him wrong more than him doing the character wrong. I think it was.
Shane.
Love Shane, man.
Shane made sense. Shane
was right.
Shane was right, but there was always that Laurie factor and I hated Laurie, I think that was what tarnished Shane for me. But he does he's excellent as the Punisher, as Frank Castle.
Cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So let's talk about the trailer for Swiss Army Man. What's that movie about?
Did you see it?
No.
It's really a dead Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, it's basically Weekend at Bernie meets Castaway meets like Time Bandits or something as far as like craziness. You can't really describe it. It's basically Paul Dano, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh god.
About to hang himself.
Can't stand Paul Dano.
He's stranded on a desert island and he sees somebody wash up on shore and it's freaking Daniel Radcliffe but he's dead.
He's dead.
But then it's all the surreal stuff. Like, he starts using them. I guess he kind of uses them as a Swiss Army knife, yeah, almost. He's, like, chopping wood. And then that part gets all, like, metaphysical and just kind of out there. Surreal. And he's riding them like a dolphin.
What genre of movie is this?
It's a Zola, man. This is, I mean, this is different.
A drug.
Drug induced.
This would be out there with Terry Gilliam's film.
I want to see it, though. Yeah. But it looks pretty cool.
I'm going to check out this trailer.
Is it like Brazil?
I don't think much is like Brazil.
Yeah.
No. This isn't a Terry Gilliam film. It did remind me. It seemed very Gilliam-esque.
Yeah.
But I know Gilliam is still trying to... Jamie's still tilting at those windmills.
But I want to, such a good way to put it.
Oh, man.
He's become the very thing he's trying to feel.
That's right.
True. Poor guy.
But, yeah, I wish he'd make more movies. Just leave Don Quixote.
I don't understand why it's so rough.
I don't
know. Movies get made every other minute. He cannot get that made.
He can't. I think
that's cursed.
The gods are against him.
I'm usually not saying stuff like that, but yeah.
Okay.
You saw Eye in the Sky, Tiffany, right?
I did.
Break it down. What's happening?
Give us the bird's eye.
It is essentially a day. It takes place over a day, and it's basically British intelligence and military and American military, and they have an eye in the sky, basically a drone in the sky, like looking down on these two terrorists that are like number 2 and 3 on the both British and U.S. most wanted list for Africa.
I thought this was a remake of that Shia LaBeouf movie.
Eagle Eye.
Which was totally... cracked me up. Every time I see it on FX or something, I just have to stop and watch it. It's like such a... Sorry. Right, this sounds much better.
Helen Mirren, right?
Huh?
This stars Helen Mirren,
yeah,
right?
Oh, I like her a lot. Yeah.
It's got a lot of good... It's Snape's last role.
Oh.
You mean Hans Gruber's last role.
Yeah. Whatever.
Snape's
last role.
No, it's the Colonel's last role.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but basically it's a lot of talking, a lot of conversation about...
Oh, God, so I'd have to listen to Alan Rickman talk and realize I'm never going to hear him talk again.
Yeah. And he's good. Oh, he's good in the movie. Everybody's very serious. It's a very serious topic, and essentially the gist of it is they have an eye on these 2 or 3 terrorists, and they end up finding out that they're obviously planning another bombing because they see them put vests on and with explosives, and they want to shoot them down. Yeah. But there's a child that is selling bread on the street, like right in front of where this is going down. And it's kind of this like back and forth conversation about like the propaganda war of like, okay, we're going to have this child. This child may or may not die if we do this. And is that worse? Do we win or do they win?
So this is a fictional movie for sure then. Because they go ahead and fucking blow the whole street up every time.
But it's an interesting... And you leave sort of just like, the world's fucked up. Kind of a thing. Like, that's kind of... Managed. But everybody... It was very, very well acted. Huh. It was thought-provoking. It was not fun whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, you know... So it was good. It wasn't fun. It wasn't a popcorn thing, but yeah.
It's a drama?
Yeah.
I used to be very paranoid as a child because I have 3 older brothers, and so Saturday mornings a lot of times we'd watch Kung Fu Theater.
Yes.
And we'd watch a lot of Chuck Norris movies and a lot of, you know, Van Damme movies and stuff like that.
Yes.
Delta Force and Invasion USA and all those kind of things.
Gosh.
And so of course they'd always insert this awkward love story in there somewhere, and I would never fall in love with the main character because they always had a hookup for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not available, and I have a code of ethics. If you're taken, you're taken, you know. And
just threw that out the window.
Wait, he was single when I met him.
I don't even want to know the story. Just keep going.
The record.
Keep going.
But anyway, so I always found myself falling in love with, like...
32 days.
The best friend, or...
Never see that in a Chuck Norris film. That guy's dead.
I know, this is what I'm saying. So it's like, you know, the one that's like the little kid, and it's his first mission, the little blonde-haired guy, and everything like that. And I remember one of them was like...
Throw on this red shirt real quick.
Yeah. One of them was one of these shootout scenes where... You know, like, they're trying to take back the streets for this mom-and-pop store or something like that.
And then there's this little kid that she's tiptoeing, trying to avoid all the gunfire, and the kid sees it. And I'm just like, God damn it, he's going to go save that kid, and he's going to die. And sure enough, I was like, so for when I first started dating, I was like, I can't date you because you're going to die, because every guy I saw on screen dies. So. He still comes to the wedding. Seems good. Stern's like, please marry me.
I'll marry this crazy woman.
Absolutely.
I'll be at the bar with you.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of the bar, so...
Speaking of bars, I've caught up on Gotham because Commissioner Gordon's now behind them.
Oh, wow.
Again?
Yeah.
There he was.
He was, and then he was, now he's back in...
What season is this?
Two.
Now he's
so he's
back.
Been in prison twice already? In two seasons?
Ryan was
in season 9?
I know, this is crazy.
Yeah, he was...
And from the promos, like, we were talking before, it's like... We didn't even know it was still on.
Nah, I mean, no idea.
And it seems like they've got every single villain already, and I'm like, what are you going to do? I mean, it's...
He escaped, so... He's not in behind bars anymore. He's escaped. But he was framed.
Good. Okay, he's behind bars for all of one commercial break.
for one episode. He was framed for a murder by the Riddler.
It happens.
But my problem with the show is I really don't care about the main
characters.
Does
the Riddler ever say, riddle me this?
Not yet. Actually, I think he has said it once. But I do actually like the peripheral characters on this. I don't like the main characters. Bruce Wayne, I don't care about.
He's
Commissioner Gordon, I don't care about.
Ryan Atwood, how dare you?
Is he a hunky piece of meat as well?
He's with OC.
She loves the OC.
Well, he's
yeah, but you won't watch Misha.
I'm not
going
to Dance with the Stars. I got standards, Joey.
I like the peripheral characters. I like the Penguin. I like Enigma. He's not technically the Riddler yet, but I like Enigma. They introduced Pee Wee Herman as Penguin's dad.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it was actually quite
good. I was going to say, that actually seems like good casting.
It was actually quite good casting. And he wasn't like weird. He was weird, but not in an exceptionally Pee Wee Herman type way.
He played a solid straight. He was Paul Reubens being an actor.
Yeah.
He's played the role before, right? So he can do it.
He was Penguin's dad in Batman Returns. And then they had, and I hope they bring her back, they had Lori Petty as a character.
What
that,
is
Tank
Girl. Tank Girl.
She's
a bar
director,
owner.
Though.
Yeah, she's a bar owner. But when they introduced her, she has very Joker-like makeup. So I don't know where they're going with the character.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
But I want to cosplay her because it just the makeup was really great. And because she's kind of an older person. And, as older chicks have very little cosplay. Well, we can do whatever we want. But
damn straight you can.
Yeah.
But I really
Lori
liked
Petty's
her character.
Awesome,
and I do like Lori Petty a lot.
Yeah.
Lori Petty's the reason why I went back to Dragon Con, because she was the second person that I saw live.
Yeah, and I know
first one was Eric Estrada.
I know it's a much maligned film, but I actually liked Tank Girl, and I thought she was perfectly cast. I just wish the movie around her was better.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was great, though.
I still own it. But, I'm still watching Gotham, mostly for the secondary characters. I like Alfred. I like Sean Pertwee as Alfred.
Yeah, he's good.
The main characters, who cares?
So is the path any good?
So there's been two episodes. Yeah. I think it comes on Wednesdays on Hulu. And essentially it's just it's a show that kind of follows a group called Amiris. And basically it's a guy who is giving the path to go up the ladder of happiness and contentment. It's basically a cult.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And what you kind of learn is that people, to go up each rung of the ladder, they have to go on retreats, and Jesse from Breaking Bad, I can't remember his damn name, he was the name of that
Aaron.
Eye in the sky. Yeah, Aaron Paul. He had, basically the show starts when he got back from retreat in Brazil, where they essentially do ayahuasca, and he basically, after, he has a vision there that's sort of mysterious, but basically leads him to believe that this is full of shit. But apparently it's like you're an all or nothing Meyerist. So, and his family's very immersed in it, and he's married and stuff. But there's a lot of
Scientology.
Kind of, yeah, kind of. And it's a sort of creepy show. It's a sort of creepy show. It's got like a creepy tone to it. It was definitely interesting. Oh. I plan on continuing with it.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
What else we got?
You read a book, Carol?
Actually,
this week, sir. I know you've read many a book.
Let me tell you something. I'm not going to really review this.
Biblioteca.
I'm not going to really review this because I haven't finished it. Okay. I was attempting to read When the Ass Meets the Angel by Nick Cave. I love Nick Cave. He's an excellent musician. He is a terrible fucking writer.
All right. All right. That's where you got real.
2 weeks. 50 pages in, and if anyone knows me, that is really bizarre.
That is bizarre.
You didn't get the get somebody to help write it?
No, and I understand that, I understand this wasn't, the finished product wasn't to his liking either, but damn, he tries so hard to be William Faulkner, and he's not William Faulkner. And I tried last night to get back into it, and I figured maybe I can just push through. It's only 300 pages. I can push through the other 250 pages. And I read two paragraphs, which basically amounted to the lead character spitting. That's it. Two paragraphs.
He felt the moisture.
It's like I launched a spittle on the branch, and it rolled down the branch onto the ground, rolled onto the rust-covered sand of the ground, and then it rolled. And I'm like, okay, first off, spit doesn't do that, Nick. It doesn't really.
Spittle?
Sure, Tolkien didn't write this.
He did. I'm like, I'd rather read George R. R. Martin's feast scenes where he describes every loaf of bread.
Oh, man.
So no, there's no review there other than I may pick it up, maybe not, I don't know.
How about The Last Girlfriend on Earth?
Yeah, so I read that, and it's weird. So they took this book.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's this TV show called Man Seeking a Woman, and it's on like FXXX, whatever X it is. But this book came before, but I watched the show before reading this book, which is a bunch of short stories. And I will say that the short stories had little kernels of the ideas, and some of them directly led into the TV show. But I will say the TV show actually is far more innovative than these little stories. But I still liked it because it connected in there. But so I would say it's the best. I'd probably give it a B. But
you're generous, Grader.
Yes.
Does that be on the A to C scale?
Anyway.
Last Man on Earth?
Oh, so new episode came on. Still funny. And Jason Sudeikis finally made his appearance at the very end of the show. So he's caught up with his brother, Phil. So it's going to be fun. Who's played by Will Forte.
Forte.
So it's a fun show. And I just like the little things, too. Like, so Phil thought he was the last man on Earth back in season one and in the first episode. So he went all around the United States and he collected like Monets and like stuff from the Oval Office, like you would do, right? Because you get the whole world as your playground and you think you're the last person. So he just cherry-picked everything he wanted. And so they hadn't shown that in a little while, but he's playing tennis inside one of his many houses because you can, right? And he's playing tennis inside against the wall and he goes through and he goes, this picture, like the, and he goes, oh, at least it's not a Monet. And it's like, oh, it's a Monet. it's just fucking awesome. It's just like, it's so cool. I don't know. Just like those little things like that. But so it's going to be fun. Yeah. And then what else did I watch? Oh, Documentary Now. I just showed this on.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's an independent film channel show. But again, it's. Oh no, this is two other guys from SNL, Fred Armisen and Bill Hader.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically spoof like popular documentaries. So instead of Grey Gardens, it's Sandy Beaches or something like this. And it is fucking hysterical. I mean, they do it so well. And it's a quick 20-minute thing because there's no commercials. And it's just brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched Portlandia?
Yeah, yeah.
I love Portlandia.
And Fred Armisen, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Armisen's
baby. And then Bill Hader just always cracks me up. But anyway, it's just,
yeah, the chicken
well
in Portlandia is in Transparent, mm-hmm. also.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But one of the head writer for that is Seth. I can't remember
Myers.
His name. Name.
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers,
yeah.
Or whatever. It's the three of them. They came up with it,
yeah.
in conjunction with Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
Oh yeah.
the joke is like they can't do anything without him or whatever.
Not really. Whenever I see that Broadway video thing, I'm like, oh man, he's got that too. It's like, holy shit.
So what's powerful. This new horror doll?
Oh yeah, Mezco Toys. I have no idea. Mezco. New horror doll. It's actually Chucky from Child's Play. And it has, just like you always wanted, he says the horrible things that Chucky says in the movie. Nope. So.
Is he nope. like possessed by Brad Dourif?
I don't know if each individual one is. Maybe there might be one lucky one.
That's the one thing you don't want.
Yeah. I feel so sorry for Brad Dourif. He's actually a really nice guy.
Is he the guy who plays Green Wormtongue?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
And he was also in Dune. He played one of the Mentats.
Oh yeah. Oh, that David Lynch thing.
Yeah, and then he was in. He was actually. Yeah, he goes way back. He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was really good in that. But he always seems to play these oddball, strange,
yeah.
insane characters.
Well, speaking of fucked up toys, a man built a Scarlett Johansson robot for $51,000. Really
sues him.
That's fucked up. It is fucked up. Yeah. It's not Christina Hendricks. That's where he went wrong. Yeah.
So, I just know he's having sex with this thing. I just
oh, you
I just
know he is. So. Why?
Because I would. I mean, if I built that thing, I would have done that. But well, luckily, I'm getting married, so I don't have to build a. I don't have to save up to build a Scarlett Johansson.
You would build a Joey robot.
32 days. 32 days. I gotta seal it quick. Can we move it up a day, honey? Oh, she walks away. Oh no, I blew it. Oh. And okay, so I guess we just need to get right to the rest in peace.
The rest in peace. Oh,
so.
That's right.
It's
a wrap.
It's me. Oh, it's Eric Bowersfeld,
who is the voice of Admiral Akbar.
Yeah,
it's a trap.
The trap, man.
Oh.
Which, if any of you have looked at the house of the New Geek Gala headquarters, you'd know that that's on our toilet.
It's a crap. It's a crap. Because we're classy.
We're classy.
We are.
Yeah, man, that one hurt, man. I didn't expect it to pop up in episode 7.
No.
And I was like, holy shit, is that Akbar? Or is that just another dude from his...
Calamari.
Yeah,
why would you do that? Just call it Calamari. That's just bad.
That's just bad lazy
Lucas.
Writing.
That's bad Lucas.
Yeah, man. These robots are going to have a hard time figuring out traps now.
You know, they're going to be like, where was Akbar? I stepped
he
in.
He always warned us at the last second, but he did warn us.
So, what else we got? Is that it?
I think so.
That, my friend, is it.
I think that's a good
Daryl,
podcast.
Thank you for coming over.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
It was.
Thank you for staying overnight.
Fun times had by
all. Hopefully, Phil gave you your share of the blanket last night.
Oh,
poor Phil.
Get him a new sponge.
Alright, that's episode 75, kids.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
What are you doing?